Hi, good evening. This is Dr. Roger Murphy, thefibrodoctor.com, author of Treating and Beating Fibromyalgia and Chronic Fatigue Syndrome. Thank you for joining me tonight for my Tuesday edition, Treating and Beating Fibromyalgia. I look forward to your questions this evening. A little bit about myself. I'm a board-certified chiropractic physician, board-certified nutritional specialist. I've been in private practice for 24 years. The last 18 years, I have specialized in fibromyalgia. I'm the author of Treating and Beating Fibromyalgia and Chronic Fatigue Syndrome, now in its fifth edition, available in most bookstores, Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, many bookstores throughout North America. For a number of years, I own a very large integrative practice on the campus of Brookwood Hospital here in Birmingham, Alabama, where I had five medical doctors and a very large support staff who worked with me, and we specialize in using integrative medicine, combining a very judicious use of prescription drugs and relying heavily on nutraceuticals or supplementation to help our patients with all sorts of illnesses, primarily, though, Chronic Fatigue Syndrome and fibromyalgia. In 2003, when the first edition of my book came out, I sold that practice, and I've been practicing solo ever since. For the last few years, my practice has evolved to where I do 95% of my consults with patients by phone. I get to work with patients throughout North America and Europe. I use a form of medicine called functional medicine, which tries to find the causes and or seeks to find the causes and then treat the causes rather than using conventional medicine approach, which really relies on making a diagnosis and then using prescription medications largely, not always, but largely to cover up symptoms. In functional medicine, what our goal is to find out how well or how poorly the different systems are working. So we want to know how well the digestive system is working. We want to know how well the endocrine system or the thyroid gland is working, how well the adrenal gland that releases the stress coping hormones, DHEA and cortisol, we want to know how well or how poorly they're working. We're really focused on the functions of the different systems rather than we are on pathology. We certainly are focused on that as well, so we rely on blood work as well as functional medicine test kits to find out the status of the patient. But in traditional medicine, really, for fibromyalgia, it's really a dead end because when you look at fibromyalgia, which is a syndrome made up of a bunch of different symptoms, a bunch of different conditions, in traditional medicine, the goal is to manage those symptoms. So if you have pain, they put you on a pain pill. If you have trouble sleeping, they put you on something to help you go to sleep. If you're depressed, they put you on something to help with your moods. If you have anxiety, they put you on benzodiazepine or Xanax, Ativan, something to calm you down. The problem with that approach is as though those medications are really attempting to cover up, tone down, or suppress these various symptoms which are associated with fibromyalgia. What they're not doing is looking at what are the true causes of fibromyalgia. Unlike type 2 diabetes, which we know what the cause of type 2 diabetes is, type 2 diabetes, it's an elevated glucose level and a poorly functioning insulin level. So what happens with type 2 diabetes, oftentimes caused by someone being overweight, we see that the glucose levels, the blood sugar levels are elevated, and that triggers different symptoms, whether that can be tingling in the hands and feet, poor circulation. It can contribute to arteriosclerosis, high blood pressure, these other things that we'll typically see in type 2 diabetes. In traditional medicine, again, the approach is to manage those symptoms. And what the symptom of type 2 diabetes is a high glucose. So they put the patient on something for that, like metformin or Januvia or some one of these medications. The problem with that, again, though, is they're missing the whole point, which is what brought on the elevated blood sugar was being overweight. That's what we need to be focused on. In functional medicine, the goal is, again, to find and fix the causes rather than just to cover up the symptoms. So there's a big difference between the two. I think what you're seeing right now is a real movement in medicine towards this whole idea of functional medicine. So we're seeing more and more doctors who are interested in this type of medicine because they become disillusioned with herding patients through their clinic and prescribing one drug after the next. Really kind of a textbook kind of medicine where, or cookbook medicine where the patient comes in, you run the test. If the tests show that they have XYZ, you put the diagnosis on it. And with that diagnosis, they get, you know, this blue pill. And then when they come back 3 months later, if they're not any better, you give them a red pill. Well, people are becoming disillusioned, both doctors and patients, with that mentality. And we have a whole movement now of people who are looking for something alternative. So they want something different than the conventional medicine that, again, is based on trying to reduce the symptoms. Because we know that every drug has a potential side effect. I mean, if you look at the potential side effects of Lyrica, which is the one of the two drugs or three drugs now that are recommended for fibromyalgia, actually recognized by the FDA as first-line drugs for fibromyalgia. If we look at the potential side effects of Lyrica, one of the side effects is diffuse achy muscle pain. Now, it's prescribed to help reduce pain, and it does that by toning down the nerve, the nervous system, and helping the nerves not to be so active. But the potential side effects of the Lyrica are diffuse achy muscle pain, anxiety, depression. It can cause problems with incoordination. It can lead to weight gain. Some patients gain, you know, 10 pounds a month on it. Water retention is a big problem with that medication. And for most people, Lyrica is not effective, at least certainly not long-term. Most people who take Lyrica end up stopping Lyrica, or the patients who are on Lyrica normally report they're really not sure if it's helping or not. And that's kind of the challenge with fibromyalgia in general, is there's so many symptoms. And patients, before they know it, because they typically go to doctor after doctor, or they keep going back to the same doctor who has really nothing to offer them other than prescription drugs, they go back to this doctor or doctors, and the only thing they know to do is to recommend more and more drugs. And before you know it, you're on half a dozen to 12 different drugs, each drug contributing oftentimes to another symptom that then requires another medication. And patients are on this merry-go-round. They don't know if their medications are helping because they really have so many bad days, more bad days than they have good days, and yet they're scared to stopping their medications because they really don't know. Maybe it is helping. So they just really don't know. And patients end up on this merry-go-round year after year after year, and before you know it, a decade goes by, and they have become even worse than they were 10 years ago, because we know when we look at surveys, it shows that prescription drugs alone are dead end long term. At least short term, they can certainly be helpful in eliminating some of the symptoms. And I'm not anti drug, I'm not anti medicine, but I am anti wrong drug, and that's what I see time and time again with my patients. They're on the wrong drugs because they're working with, quite frankly, very stupid doctors. When I say stupid, they're very bright people. I mean, you have to be bright to get through medical school. However, they're stupid when it comes to working with someone and getting them healthy. They're stupid when it comes to fibromyalgia. If you're working with a doctor that's got you on antidepressant, like Savella or Cymbalta, which are two of the medications, first-line medications that are approved for fibromyalgia, and they have you taking that in the evening or taking it at bedtime, that's a stupid doctor. And the reason why is because those medications help you hang on to serotonin, which is very calming, and that's fine, but they also are designed to help you hang on to adrenaline, to norepinephrine, and you certainly don't want your adrenaline level going up at bedtime because you already have trouble with your sleep. In fact, that may be one of the reasons. The selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, Savella, Cymbalta, Effexor, Celexa, Lexapro, Paxil, all those medications actually deplete your natural sleep hormone, melatonin. And so they can eventually start to give you trouble with an already in trouble sleep-wake cycle that so many people with fibromyalgia have. But I see it time and time again that doctors who And maybe they're well-meaning. Oftentimes they're not, because they really would rather not see fibromyalgia patients. They really don't know what to do with fibromyalgia patients. They don't want them in their clinic, and so they typically will start to try to refer them out to different specialists. It's come to the point now, though, that most doctors, because they have decided they really don't have anything for fibromyalgia, they realize the drugs don't work for fibromyalgia, and they have come to that conclusion, and now they refer them all out to the rheumatologist. And the problem with the rheumatologist is they don't want to see fibromyalgia patients. In fact, University of Alabama, Birmingham, which is a very, very prestigious hospital known throughout the world for some of the research we do here, 1 in 10 people in Birmingham is employed by University of Alabama Hospital. It's a very, very prestigious hospital. And the rheumatologists here in Birmingham, Alabama, UAB, they don't accept fibromyalgia patients because they say they don't deal with that. They don't have anything for it, and that's not what they do. And they really don't have to, because the rheumatologist, they have such a long waiting list. It could take 6 months to get in to see a rheumatologist. They certainly don't want to be working with fibromyalgia patients. It's not what they do. It's really not what they're good at. Unfortunately, back in 1990, they got saddled with the specialty as being the specialist for fibromyalgia, because they came up with the criteria to be diagnosed with fibromyalgia. And because of that, early on, they thought it was an autoimmune disease, and they were stuck with it. And ever since then, rheumatologists have been trying to shed the yoke of being the specialist for fibromyalgia, and that's just not what they want to do. What rheumatologists are really good at is giving drugs, and if those drugs don't work, they give you a stronger drug, and then a stronger drug, and a stronger drug. And that's how they treat autoimmune diseases like Sjogren's and Reiter's and lupus. They start you out with one medication that rarely works, so they put you on something stronger and stronger, where you're taking Enbrel or Methotrexate or Humira, some type of medication that can be potentially very damaging to your liver, to your body. And before you know it, you're on, you know, these very toxic medications. And oftentimes, the medications are actually worse than the disease. They offer nothing in the way of nutritional guidance. They offer nothing in the way of complementary or functional medicine ways to reduce autoimmune disease. That's not even in their thinking. And because of that, they're the worst doctor that a fibromyalgia patient can go to. Because the only way to reverse fibromyalgia is that, number one, you got to think outside the box. You got to think differently than the conventional medicine with a pill is going to get you well. It just doesn't work that way. The second thing you got to realize is the only way to beat fibromyalgia is you got to get healthy. That is the only way. Doing this for almost 20 years, two decades, owning a very large medical practice where we used every drug that was out there, and found out the hard way that drugs were not the answer and never would be, because drugs don't make you healthy. The only way to beat fibromyalgia is to find out where you're broken down, and from there start to fix those different systems. So if your circadian rhythm, your sleep-wake cycle is off, it's broken, you can take sleep medications the rest of your life, but that's not going to fix you, because you don't have a sleep drug deficiency. You've got something that's off in your circadian rhythm, something that's off that's preventing you from winding down, falling asleep, and going into deep delta wave sleep, to where you make chemicals that your body needs to help you repair itself night after night after night. God is very smart. He gives us 16 hours a day to do whatever we want to, but 8 hours a night we're supposed to go to sleep so our body has a chance to rest itself. We also know from the research that part of that time, this is the time the brain is getting rid of toxins and allowing itself to heal up during that sleep, during that rest. We don't really stop and think about how amazing the self-healing mechanisms that we have in our body. We have a body that we don't even understand, but about 10% of 1% of how it even works when you talk to the experts. That's how complicated we are. We don't have to think about taking 12 breaths per minute. We don't have to think about digesting our dinner that we had tonight. We don't have to think about pumping blood through 60 miles of arteries and veins every minute. We don't have to think about regulating our body temperature when we go outside to heat us up or cool us down. Our body does that for us. When we cut our finger, we don't think about the cut healing itself up. We break a bone, it mends itself. All these incredible things are happening because the body has a self-healing mechanism, an inborn, innate healing mechanism that runs the body. We have a system called the HPA axis, the hypothalamus and the pituitary. Those are two glands in the brain. And the adrenals, which are two pea-sized glands that sit on top of the kidneys, those are largely responsible for controlling our autonomic systems, our systems that run automatically without us thinking about it. So they can control how and when we get tired at night by releasing certain hormones. They control when we wake up in the morning by releasing certain hormones. They control our body temperature, how when we get hot, when we get cold, and how to regulate that. They control our digestive system, our immune system, our thyroid, our sex hormones, our brain chemicals, our neurotransmitters that allow us to be happy or to be sad, or allow us to be able to have the chemicals that we need to fight off certain pathogens or disease processes that are trying to take over our body. What happens, though, with fibro is that you get under too much stress somewhere along the line. Something comes along. It could be chronic stress over the years. It could be a car accident that breaks the, you know, straw that breaks the camel's back. It could be a hysterectomy. It could be the birth of your third child and you hadn't slept in a year. Something comes along and that's it. And you never recover from that. And there's not a drug that can fix that. There's not a drug that can fix your HPA axis. It can't be done. Lyrica won't do that. Savella won't do that. Those medications are attempting to tone down, to slow down, or to speed up a symptom or a process. And only thing a symptom is a warning sign. It's a warning sign, just like when the engine light comes on in your car. It's to tell you, hey, something's a matter, and you need to investigate it. And that's the same thing that we see with fibromyalgia. And that's the message that I've been preaching for a decade now, going on, well, actually 18 years, although, I was hard-headed too. I figured that early on in the first several years that we would find a drug cocktail, drug recipe, working with the medical doctors who worked underneath me, that we would find something the patients could get on, and that would take away the pain, whether that was steroids and antidepressants and sleep medications and trazodone, and even exploring kind of off-the-shelf prescription drugs like oxytocin, human growth hormone, putting people on bioidentical hormone replacement. We did all that stuff. Wilson syndrome, high-dose, low-dose thyroid therapy, compounded T3. We did all that stuff. It didn't make any difference, not long-term, because what we found was, or at least what I found, and that was one reason why I sold my practice, I knew I had to get out and do it a different way, was the only way that made sense was to find out where the person was broken down. And it's going to be more than one place. It's going to be different systems are not working, and to optimize those systems. Once you did that, then you saw that the patient had a chance to recover and get their life back. If they were 60 pounds overweight, they were never going to feel as good as they could if they lost the weight. However, the weight wasn't their problem. The weight didn't cause the fibromyalgia. The weight was a part of the problem. It was a byproduct of the problem, which is they broke down. And so when they broke down, the body couldn't self-regulate itself, and their metabolism became compromised. Now they had a low metabolism. It started with all the stress of poor sleep, maybe taking some medications and getting further run down. They weren't sleeping. That complicated their thyroid, so maybe they developed an autoimmune disease called Hashimoto's thyroiditis. So now they have a low thyroid that doesn't routinely get picked up in blood tests. And because of that, it does not get treated. It may take 10 years before it ever shows up in blood work. But now they start having a weight issue. And that could be compounded because they may be taking medications that cause them to gain weight. So that could be the beta blocker. It could be Lyrica or Neurontin, some antidepressants like Paxil or Elavil can cause you to gain weight. And then because they're more sedentary, they're not exercising because they can't, they feel bad, this further brings on a lower metabolism. So now they gain all this weight. The problem with the extra weight is that's where you store inflammatory chemicals. So when you're storing these extra inflammatory chemicals, it drives up your pain. We know that belly fat, any extra belly fat or yellow fat, this unhealthy fat, is where you store inflammatory chemicals and you store toxins. So patients who are having problems with endometriosis symptoms or having ovarian cysts, having problems with PMS or problems with their periods because they're estrogen dominant and they've stored toxins in their fat cells that actually mirror the effects of estrogen. And because of that, they start having problems. And one of the things that can happen when you get estrogen dominant, it can actually compromise your thyroid function. So it affects your T3, your uptake of T3, and that's the active thyroid hormone. We've got other patients who, because they're overweight, now they're starting to take medications like high blood pressure medications. So they may be taking a beta blocker, which can make them feel really run down, depressed, start having problems with respiratory infections. So now they wind up on inhalers or steroids that then can affect their sleep. Patients then go in and start having problems with diabetes. So now they might start getting on metformin, start having stomach issues with the metformin, and it goes on and on and on. Taking more drugs is not the answer. The answer is finding and fixing the causes, these underlying causes. And by doing that, then the person has a chance to not only feel good, but to get well and stay well. Now, is it simple? No, it's not. It's not a simple thing. My book is 564 pages, and it's a big book because it's a, you know, it's a very complicated subject. It's a very complicated illness. And I think a lot of times that's why most doctors don't want to work with fibromyalgia patients because they're too daggum complicated. So it's a different way of looking at the problem, but you're going to see that more and more of the talk, more and more doctors out there, whether it's Dr. Oz, bless his heart, or other doctors who are renowned, doctors who are becoming quite respected in the medical communities, are saying the same things now about how we got to get back to getting patients healthy. It's not about just pushing more and more drugs. It's about finding and fixing the problems. And by doing that, then we stand a chance that we actually have a patient that it doesn't go from in the early 20s to being on medication the rest of their life, you know, compromised by the medications. Yeah, it may keep you alive, but at what cost? What sacrifice are you paying taking these medications month after month, year after year? What is it costing you in your vitality? What is it costing you in what you're able to do with your life? And, you know, I'm preaching to the choir because I know with fibromyalgia, this thing robs you of everything. And the drugs often just make it worse. And you get so frustrated because nobody understands what you're going through. And doctors are, for the most part, pretty stupid about fibromyalgia. A lot of them don't believe fibromyalgia exists, and you don't know where to turn. So now you're on this call here tonight, and you're listening to me rant and rave. Hopefully it makes sense to you. If you've not read the book, I encourage you to do that. I mean, you need to read the book. That's the next step. If you've not read the book, certainly watch the videos. They're all free. But the next thing you've got to do is read the book. I'm not here to try to sell you a book. What I'm here to do is get you motivated to realize you need to learn that there's other options to what you can do. You don't have to settle. You don't have to settle to having fibromyalgia and be stuck on drugs the rest of your life. There are options out there, and you need to know that you got the options. Now, you could read the book and disagree with everything I say, but at least you were proactive enough to see, does it make sense? If you don't do that, I can't help you, because what I have to offer is totally different than what most people have been trying to do year after year after year. But if you do the same thing year after year after year and it doesn't work, eventually you got to realize you got to do something else. And that's what this call every Tuesday night is about. It's what the book's about. It's what my practice is about, is giving you an opportunity to do something different. So now what I want to do tonight is I want to make sure I take your questions. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to open up the phone line here. And see if I can do that.
Hello?
So if you've got a question, what you'll need to do is hit star 6. That will bring you on the line. If you've got a question, please state your name when you come on the line, and I'll be happy to take your question. If I've got more than one person trying to get on the line at the same time, don't worry, I'll get to you, but please do state your name so I can call you out individually. So again, if you've got a question, you'll need to hit star 6 on your phone, and that'll bring you live on the line. So while we're waiting on those who are trying to get on the line here, I'm just going to take a couple of questions that I have gotten over through email. So one of them is, says, Dr. Murphy, I hurt all over. I've taken all sorts of drugs, but nothing helps. What do you recommend that's different than anybody else? Well, what I just gave you, that whole spiel there about you've got to do something different. And excuse me just a second. I'm sorry, Birmingham, Alabama, and it's allergy time. But with the pain, no one has a pain medicine deficiency. That pain is a warning sign that your body's broken down, and it's a condition in fibromyalgia called allodynia, which is a lower pain threshold, which means pain is magnified. Now, it doesn't mean you're a wimp. It doesn't mean you're a baby. I mean, 98% of the patients I take care of are female and women. And listen, if you can have a baby, you're tough, okay? If men had to have a baby, we would be extinct because there'd be one baby born, and then that man would tell every other man, and that'd be it. We'd be extinct. So it's not that you're a wimp, but what happens is your body gets so run down and you deplete stress coping chemicals that allow you to have a high pain threshold. One of those is serotonin. And when serotonin is low, your pain threshold goes low. And that's why you have found over the years that pain has become more magnified. It's diffuse pain. It's in different places. And it's gotten to the point now that you can't bear to have someone give you a hug or to shake your hand, or sometimes you can't wear a tight blouse, or you can't put on tight shoes, or you can't even hardly put your feet down on the floor first thing in the morning. But it's because your body is broken down. And the way you fix that is not with pain pills, not with Lyrica. You fix it by getting healthy. So the first thing you got to do is get deep restorative sleep, because if you're not getting deep restorative sleep, you increase your inflammatory chemicals that cause pain, by 40%. If you're not getting deep restorative sleep, your body cannot produce certain hormones that repair muscle that you've been used during the day. If you don't get deep restorative sleep, you start getting cramping and deficiencies in magnesium, potassium, other things that allow your muscles to be relaxed, and so you start having more and more pain, and you get a buildup of lactic acid, so you get these trigger points in your muscles. You need to you've got to have certain chemicals like norepinephrine, which is a brain chemical, which allows you to be able to handle pain. It's a pain blocker. You need certain vitamins and minerals that get deficient because you get under so much stress that allow you to handle pain. If you're overweight, that's where you store inflammatory chemicals, so you got to lose the weight. If you smoke, you got to quit because that increases your inflammation. If you got food allergies that haven't been found through testing, then those need to be found. That could be the source of your migraine headaches. So there's all kind of things that can be done, but in the grand scheme of thing, in functional medicine, we're not really treating disease. We're treating the person. And the goal is to get that person as healthy as we can get them. If we do that, everything else is going to take care of itself. Whether that's pain, poor sleep, poor moods, whatever it is, that's going to be corrected. Okay, so if you've got a question, you'll need to state your name, and please ask away.
Hello, Dr. Murphy?
Yes.
My name's Del Hatter. I'm phoning on by behalf of my wife, Karen, who sent an email question in earlier. First
okay,
of
great.
All, I'm just congratulating you on your book. I just read it. It's very concise and clearly written, so thank you for that.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay. Before I read your book, my wife had adrenal insufficiency. We put her on hydrocortisone. It worked great for a while, but then after a while, it doesn't work as well. After I read your book, we bought your glandular. She's been on it for about a week and a half now, and we're going to begin titrating her dose lower. I guess my question is, once that we start doing that, will her hypothalamus detect the lower levels of cortisol in her blood and then start the process that stimulates the adrenals to start producing its own cortisone?
Well, I wish it were, and that's very astute thinking. And that's how it should be, but it doesn't work that way with fibro. Or a lot of illnesses where you get adrenal fatigue, where you're just so beat down. What happens is that adrenal gland that is supposed to be releasing these stress coping hormones like cortisol and DHEA, it has been beat down so much that it really, it's like the boy that calls wolf. And eventually, it's just not going to answer the call. It doesn't matter what gland, the hypothalamus, doesn't matter what happens. And the way that you have to repair that is you certainly can do that with the adrenal cortex, you know, the glandulars. That's the way that I do it. When I have my medical practice, we use Cortef, which is about one-fifth the dose of prednisone. But it'll take months. I mean, it takes a while. But now while you're doing that, you got to make sure you take the stressors off of the gasoline pedal as well, because if you don't do that, the body cannot, it's just not going to stand a chance. And short of being a monk, you know, going off somewhere to a monastery and shutting yourself off from all stimulation and stress, which is not possible for most of us, it's going to require making sure that she's getting deep restorative sleep, that she's got any nutritional deficiencies that need to be addressed, whether that's low magnesium, B vitamins, low thyroid will play into that. Those all need to be addressed. If there's any kind of stressor in her body inside or environmental stress, those things need to be addressed to allow the adrenals to have the ability to then build up reserves from whether it's the glandulars or the prescription over a period of time. So then what should happen, Dale, is she should then start to have more stamina and resistance to stress. And that, you know, that'll take some time, but that's what you'll see, and you'll know that it's being successful.
Okay. Well, thank you. Just so you know, I'm a member of Life Extensions. I've been taking mega doses of multivitamins, and my wife has as well. So that end, we've pretty well got covered. We've taken the 5-HTP suggestion in your book. It's definitely helping. The other thing I was going to start doing is putting her on low-dose DHEA and pregnenolone. And that way, again, hoping to take a little bit of stress off the adrenals until it's functioning fully. Would you agree that's a wise thing to do or not?
I would. I really wouldn't worry about the pregnenolone. Would not worry about that. Most doctors are now coming to the conclusion that's not something you need to do. And that's going to take a while because there's a lot of integrative doctors who kind of jumped on the pregnenolone bandwagon. But the DHEA is definitely, and so now I would test it just to see what those levels are, either through saliva or a blood test, and just know, which I'm sure you do since you are involved with Life Extension, you know that the conventional number is, you know, it's a big parameter for DHEA. So for a female, maybe 35 to 350, you know, depending on the lab. And if it comes back at 40, 45, they tell you it's okay. Well, in functional medicine, what we want you to be as an A student, certainly at least a B student, so we want you to be at optimal levels. So for a female, it needs to be way up there. So it needs to be around 250 to 300.
Yeah.
So just keep that in mind.
Okay. Yeah, I've got the ranges. And again, through Life Extension, I do know that. So that's what we're shooting for, but we're trying to do it just gently at first and then increasing it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, that very much answers my question. Maybe just one more if you have time. A lot
sure.
of people in our support group have these hot flashes. They're sensitive to cold, which makes sense following the HPA axis. Do you think estrogen will help that at all, or just go with the DHEA, which eventually will be turned into estrogen, and that hopefully will take care of the problem?
It's very smart, again, smart question. It may take care, you know, people think of hot flashes as being an estrogen problem. But with fibro, it's really, you've got this disruption of the HPA axis, which controls our body temperature. And that usually is not associated with the sex hormones. Can be. I'm not saying it's not. You know, in menopause or perimenopause, you're definitely going to see that. But fibro, you can see that even after they've gone through menopause. You can see that even if they're having a normal menstrual cycle. And what that tells us is it's really that the body's self-regulating mechanisms are not working. What happens
right.
a lot is doctors have this whole mindset. There's a whole group of doctors that have, you know, certain there's a clinic out there, and you would know the name. A group of these clinics, and they think that the way you help patients, certainly middle-aged patients, is you put everybody on bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, and that solves all their problems. I'm not saying that that's not the answer for some people, but for fibro, it's usually doesn't do much, if anything. And part of the reason why is that's treating so far downstream that it doesn't really do much. What makes more sense is to treat way upstream. And that's where you focus on taking the stress off the HPA axis. And you're going to get much more return using DHEA, cortisol, making sure you're getting that deep restorative sleep, those kind of things, than you are doing bioidentical hormone replacement therapy. And last thing, most patients, not all patients, but I would say the majority of patients I work with are estrogen dominant. They don't need any more estrogen.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. That's great information. I appreciate it.
Sure. You're welcome.
Hi. Oh,
bye-bye.
Okay, so if you got a thanks, Dale. So if you got a question, this is the time to,
Joan,
you know, to...
I'm on the line.
Yes, you are. Go ahead.
Oh, this is Joan. Hi. I have 5-HTP, and they're 100-milligram tablets, and they said that they're 12-hour time-released.
Ooh.
I want to take three of them. I've been taking 300.
Okay.
How should I space them out during a 24-hour period?
I would not take anything time release. So, it's anything time release is a little bit is hard on your liver. So, just on a personal note, I wouldn't do anything time release. Second, the 5-HTP, you want to load it all up at bedtime, provided that you don't have any trouble with that. So you want to take all 300 milligrams at bedtime, and you want it to hit. You want it to interact with the brain all at once. You don't want it to be throughout the day. That's ideal. Now, if you want to experiment with it, I've never seen time release 5-HTP. Doesn't make sense to me. But if you wanted to experiment with it, then the thing you would need to do is probably take... You know, start with 100 milligrams, take it maybe at lunchtime, take it with food, don't take it at bedtime, but take it with food, and then the next day maybe take it, do it a couple of days, make sure you're doing okay, and then eventually get to where you're taking 100 milligrams three times a day. But 5-HTP, what you really want to do is see if you take the right dose, which is typically 200 milligrams at bedtime, if it'll help you go right to sleep. That's really the key.
All right, so I should take them all at once then, you think?
If it's time release, because that's going to defeat the purpose.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I have the bottle in my hand. It says 12-hour time-released formula.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Sorry, but I would just get regular 5-HTP and get it anywhere. It's over the counter, and I would stick with just regular 5-HTP, and if you get the book in the book or go on my website,
treatingandbeating.com,
if you go on that website, it'll give you the protocol for sleep. and you'll see in there how to take that 5-HTP, and you want to start off with 100 milligrams 30 minutes before bed on an empty stomach with just a little bit of grape juice, which helps the 5-HTP get it past the blood-brain barrier, and then you increase that the next night to 100 and the next night to 300 milligrams. 5-HTP turns into melatonin. Well, 5-HTP increases your natural sleep hormone, melatonin, by 200%. That's why you want to take it at bedtime if you can.
Okay. Melatonin, and it also gives you serotonin, right?
It's what makes serotonin. So 5-HTP plus certain B vitamins, magnesium, and vitamin C, that's how you make serotonin. And the higher your serotonin level, the higher your pain threshold, so you have less pain.
Okay. And if you, when you take the 5-HTP, how many weeks, I mean, is it instant that you start to feel better, or how long does it take to start noticing a change?
Well, it can be instant that it gets you into deep sleep. I mean, it can be that night when you hit the right dose.
Mm-hmm.
And so once you start sleeping, I mean, restoring that deep sleep is as therapeutic as building up the serotonin, if not more so.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get that deep sleep, your pain levels go down, your energy goes up, your moods go up, you have less likely to have problems with IBS, restless leg syndrome. But as far as the 5-HTP building up serotonin, that happens almost immediately. It's really quick.
Oh, all right. That's good. Then I've also doubled my magnesium. It was 400 milligrams, so I've gone to 800. And omega-3, I have fish oil that are 1,000, and I double those. Is that the same thing that I should take them one in the morning and one at night? They're not time-released, or should I take them all at once?
No, I'd spread those out. But, the magnesium, I assume, because it's 400 milligrams, is probably magnesium oxide. And you do better, it's fine, but you would do better taking magnesium chelate or taurate or aspartate. You absorb it better. It doesn't bother your stomach. You tend to get more out of it. And then the fish oil is great. You know, fish oil is wonderful. I think, it's typical of what happens is that you start to kind of pick around and cherry pick, and you take a little of this and you take a little of that. And unfortunately, the expectation doesn't meet the reality in that if you just take a little fish oil and a little extra magnesium and some 5-HTP, it's going to make a big difference. Now, hopefully it will. I'm not saying it won't make a difference, but it's got to be a comprehensive approach. And so what I would encourage you to investigate and get on the best multivitamin you can get on, and then you cover all your bases.
Oh, so you wouldn't need to take all these individual ones then?
Well, it depends. I mean, I think you need to be taking about 600 to 800 milligrams of magnesium, and you'd be taking minimum two grams of fish oil a day. So you're probably not going to get that high a dose in a multivitamin. But at the same time, it's just as much as you need magnesium, you need B6, B2, B3, you need B12, you need vitamin C, you need calcium, you need potassium, you need zinc, selenium. I mean, they all have functions, and they all help as our stress coping chemicals to allow us to handle stress. And they all get depleted when we get under too much stress.
Yeah. Okay, do you think it would be okay to add SAMI, how do you pronounce it, to this?
I mean, SAMEs, acetylcysteine, methionine, and that's responsible for making norepinephrine, which is a feel-good chemical, pain blocker, gives you mental energy and physical energy. And if you look on the brain function questionnaire on my treatingandbeating.com site, if you look on there, it'll go into more detail about SAMI and how to take it. Also, the article I have on there for anxiety and depression goes into detail about SAMI as well as 5-HTP.
Okay, and it doesn't interact with any of these other ones I'm taking?
No problem.
No. Okay, I'm just getting into all this, and last night a British newspaper report came out, I don't know if you saw it, vitamins have been proven to cause cancer.
Well,
After, I mean, you can't win.
Yeah. You know,
I try to get healthy, and then I read that article.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I would rather take my chances with vitamins and minerals than with the plethora of prescription medications out there. So, you know, the truth of the matter is that one of the, if not the number one, at least number three cause of death is conventional medicine. And that's not to be, you know, to spread yellow journalism. That's just the facts. Because we have over 100,000 people die every year from prescribed prescription drugs taken as directed. We have another 200,000 people die from iatrogenic, that's doctor-induced or surgical-induced, some type of infection or something that goes wrong in the hospital, die every year. So I would take my chance with B12 rather than I would with, you know, that. Having said that, I mean, there's a time and there's a place. You know, we need, thank God, we got prescription medications and we got great surgeons out there. But push comes to shove, if it's my choice, I'm going to do what the body knows is, it knows what to do with B12. It doesn't know what to do with Lyrica. Lyrica is a foreign invader. It doesn't know what that is. It's some foreign synthetic chemical that it thinks it's some kind of poison, eventually adapts to it, but you pay a price for that.
I tried it. It didn't do anything.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't help.
Well, I would encourage you, it sounds like you got some homework to do, so I'd tell you to go to the website, and then I'd tell you definitely read the books. If you're just getting started and, you know, you really want to know what's what, I'd encourage you to read the book and see if it makes sense to you.
Okay, well, the dosing, how what's the highest I should to go into for the SAMe?
I wouldn't go above 1,200 milligrams, but again, what you're asking me are great questions, but what I would encourage you to do is rather than trying to do it piecemeal, I would see what the entire plan is, and now you got it in front of you, and that's in the book.
Okay, I'm waiting for the book to arrive. So all this is mapped out as to how to go about this in the book?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, in detail. Yeah.
All right, so I'll see it when I get the book. Good. Okay, thank you, Doctor.
You're so welcome.
Okay, bye-bye.
Hello, Dr. Murphy.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
This is Deb Bansloff calling from Kansas. Hi. My question is, I started the Jumpstart package of vitamins and minerals probably a month ago or so, and just Monday, yesterday, I started taking the SAMe and the DHEA. And so yesterday I took 400 milligrams, and today I took 600 milligrams of SAMe. This past weekend, we went out of town just for one overnight, and I did a lot of walking and a lot of stair climbing. And the previous weekend, we had company. My sister-in-law came, and we celebrated my husband's birthday, and this week I am just exhausted, and I'm so sore. My muscles are even sore in my lower back from, I think, stair climbing. And I just wondered what you'd recommend, because, you know, with fibromyalgia, if you use up a lot of energy and you have stress, even if it's good stress, then you pay for it. And I wondered if you had any recommendations.
Well, so, you know, you're on the right track. So you're taking the Jumpstart, which is everything in there is designed to build up your stress coping chemicals so that eventually you have more stamina and more resistance to stress so it doesn't wipe you out. But, you know, doing it a month, it's going to take time because you're so depleted. Now, I don't know about your sleep, how your sleep is. I don't know what kind of medications you're taking. So I'm at, you know, a little bit of a disadvantage, but given what you shared with me, one thing I would make sure of is that the adrenal cortex dose. What is your dose you're thinking of that? You're taking one twice a day?
I'm taking two twice a day.
Even better. So you're 500 milligrams. So you got that covered. That should be working to your advantage. How's your sleep? Tell me about your sleep.
Well, it's good now. I know that the 5-HTP helps, and the other thing is I just switched from a drug that I was on. I switched to trazodone because I noticed in your book it mentioned that that gets you into that deep sleep. And so I feel like my sleep is really good. I'm sleeping good at night and not waking up and having trouble going back to sleep. I don't have any of those problems anymore. So
how about your bowel movements? Are your bowel movements normal?
No, actually, I cut back on the magnesium, the littlest capsule. I only take once a day because I had IBS anyway, and I was having a lot of diarrhea. And so I thought, well, maybe if I reduce the magnesium, that that would help.
And did it help when you did that?
Well, it did. Yesterday, I only took one of the littlest capsules, and today I did real well. So, yes, I would say yes,
what,
you did.
And now you're taking 300 milligrams of the 5-HTP?
Yes.
300, okay, good. So you maxed that out. Yeah, you know, so you're doing everything right. It may just be that it's going to take some time. Do you have any problem with your weight? Do you have any weight issues?
Oh, I am a little bit heavier than I'd like to be, but since I've been taking your vitamins and minerals and the adrenal cortex and all that, I'm losing lots and lots of water weight really fast, and that's been
good.
A big help. So.
Okay, good. So that the reason why I ask is, you know, being overweight is not your problem, but it's a clue. It's a clue about your metabolism, and of course, if you're carrying around a lot of extra weight, it's going to be take much more energy to do that. So you know, it could be it's just going to take some more time. It could be that you know you might need some testing to uncover some things that haven't been found, but I think it already sounds like you're doing considerably better, and that's going to pay dividends. But if you've been like most of the people with fibro, I mean, you've had it for years, it's going to take some time.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for your question.
Okay.
Dr. Murphy.
Yes.
Michelle from Illinois.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi there. I have a question about heredity. My normal GP physician has told me that fibromyalgia is inherited, and I was wondering if you had any thoughts on that.
I've not seen that there's a definitive connection, you know, genetic connection. And so at this point, I would say I'm open-mindedly would say I don't think there is. However, there's definitely it runs in families, and that doesn't mean it's genetically linked. It just means that with certain families, you have characteristics that predispose you to having fibromyalgia. And when I say that, you know, we're all born with the ability to handle stress. We have a plasticity to it. And having that plasticity to stress is what allows us to be able to overcome, you know, minor stressors and major stressors as we go through life. However, just the way God makes us, some people have big stress coping savings accounts, some people have little stress coping savings accounts, and that can, you know, that can cause you not to be able to handle stress, especially if you have a lot of stress as a child. So there's some common things, low thyroid, which does run in families, that can predispose you to having problems with fibromyalgia. Mood disorders, neurotransmitter deficiencies, and problems with certain biochemical glitches, that can predispose you to being low in serotonin, which then can predispose you to having fibromyalgia. So there's definitely a connection. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, because why I was asking is I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia, but in my book, it was caused by a complete hysterectomy, you know, by a surgery, and I've never been the same since. But I do treat myself with the magnesium, vitamin B. I have refused the fibromyalgia medication because of the side effects that it has. But what my problem is now my doctor is saying that my children have fibromyalgia and that they have contracted it from me. So, yeah,
wow.
That's, I understand what you say about the stressors. They
yeah.
seem to have
yeah.
very, very low pain tolerances. So
mm-hmm.
Would the 5-HTP be something that I would need to put them on?
What are their ages?
Well, they are 21 and 23.
Okay.
Both boys.
Mm-hmm. Both boys, yeah. So that could be helpful. I mean, I would, if you've not read the book, I hate to keep hawking the book, but it's just, when you read it, it either is going to make total sense to you. And rarely does it not, because I don't mean to sound that way. I know it sounds that way, but it'll make sense to you. And then there's a brain function questionnaire in there that you could have them take that would tell you specifically what they would need to take as far as the amino acids. And for men, not always, but for men, and these are young men, it could be serotonin, but it could be they're low in norepinephrine. I see that more in men than I do in women. And so anyway, there's some nuances that you want to pay attention to, and the reason why you want to do that is if you just go out there and do helter-skelter because you heard this or you heard that and it doesn't work, then you just kind of give up. I mean, that's what happens with people. But if you really take the time and be proactive and you research it a little bit more, then you can customize something for you that is going to stand a much better chance, or in this case, your son's, that's going to stand a much better chance of actually working.
Okay. And now you said something about a website, and I'm not catching what that is. I just found you on the internet today, so
So the website is Treating and Beating. TreatingandBeating.com, just like the book, Treating and Beating Fibromyalgia.
Okay, TreatingandBeating.com.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Okay, great. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Michelle, you're welcome. Thanks for your question. Okay, so we got any other callers on the line with a question before we start to wrap things up? Okay, so we had some great questions. I really appreciate everyone who got on tonight and asked a question. And I know I wasn't able to get to, I've got a stack of email questions here, so I apologize. But if you can't tell, I'm starting to wind down tonight with the Birmingham allergy season here. So at least my voice held out tonight, so I'm thankful for that. But I really want to encourage you, if you're on the line tonight or if we make this as a recording, and some of these calls we make as a recording, some we don't, but if this is a recording or, again, you're on here tonight, I really want to encourage you to read the book, because if what I have shared with you tonight sparks your interest, sparks your curiosity, or makes sense to you, then you owe it to yourself to read the book and see if there's something in there for you that you can use to help you in any way to feel better. So there's protocols for how to get deep restorative sleep. There's protocols for adrenal fatigue, how to get energy to build up your stamina, your resistance to stress. There's protocols for pain. There's food allergy panels. There's what tests you need, what you need to take for anxiety and depression, how to know what you need to take. There's a ton of stuff in there. Things for your thyroid, yeast overgrowth, for your digestion, for irritable bowel, for restless leg syndrome, K2 chemical sensitivities, headaches, migraines. It's all in there. And by reading that book, now you're empowered to be able to know, number one, is this what you want to explore? Because it's going to take you know, some exploration to see what's going to work for you. And then number two, if after you read the book, you realize that, you know, you're sick and tired of being sick and tired and you want some help, then that's the time you need to set up a consult. And what I find is there's so many people out there who, and I really respect them because they could just give up. But what they do instead is they're always constantly researching things on the Internet. They're reading books. They're trying to find answers. And they've been trying to figure this out for years. And they've taken a little bit of, you know, this supplement, a little bit of that supplement. They heard that CoQ10 is helpful. They've heard that magnesium is helpful. So they take a little bit of this and they take a little bit of that. The problem with that shotgun approach is it's rarely when all the stars line up and you actually make a big difference. Most of the time, you're going to need, if you're really complicated, you're going to need somebody who can help you, number one, find out where you're broken down. So you know, are you working at the right job site? You know, if you continually are mopping up your floor, you know, there's water on the kitchen floor, you're continually mopping that up, you know, you can keep doing that. You know, and you can buy special mops, you can buy more mops, you can hire people to do the mopping for you. But until you realize where the problem is, where the water's coming from, it's futile. So you can take any supplement, as many supplements as you want to. However, if you could do a test and have somebody guide you, actually showed you that the problem is you got a leak in your roof. If that's where the water's coming in the kitchen floor. If you fix that, you won't need to mop every day. So the testing takes all the guesswork out of it. And it allows me to know where a person's broken down, and then it allows me to do what needs to be done, which is get the person healthy. So taking supplements are certainly a big step in the right direction. But sometimes you're going to need someone to put it all together for you. Otherwise, you're going to be chasing windmills, and a year can go by, 2 years can go by, 3 years can go by, and you're really no better. You've got a cupboard full of pills. You're on a first-name basis with the health food stores in your area, but you're no better. And that's where you need to, if you're identifying with what I'm talking about, then you know who I'm talking to. It's time to, you know, to do a consult. And that's what I do, whether it's a phone consult or an in-clinic consult. So if you'd like to know more about that, if you're ready to feel good again, and the way you do that is get healthy, and that's what I do with my patients. You've heard testimonials, and you can go on the website and read those or listen to them. We typically have somebody come on every night, share one, but you can listen to those, and you can read about those in the book. But all those people started where you did. They all tried to figure it out on their own, and before that, they went to doctor after doctor after doctor, and they got fed up with that, and then they finally realized, okay, what this guy is saying makes sense. I got to get healthy. The problem is I don't know how to do that. I need some help. And that's when they started working with me, and they work with me to get healthy. And by getting healthy, they get their life back. So you can learn more about that at the treatingandbeating.com site. There's a consult. Read all about the consults. There's free videos on there. There's free articles, all kind of free stuff on the treatingandbeating.com site. And so I encourage you definitely to check that out. Check out the articles that I have on my blog, which is available on there as well. This is Dr. Roger Murphy, thefibrodoctor.com, and that's the blog. Author of Treating and Beating Fibromyalgia and Chronic Fatigue Syndrome, that's the book. Encouraging you to join me each and every Tuesday night, 7 p.m., same calling number, same access code each week, and get your questions answered. Thanks for joining me tonight. Good night.